Get number 52963, In Re Nevada State Engineer Ruling Number 5823. Counsel, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court. Again, I'm Don Springmeier, representing the Pyramid Lake Tribe. With me is Mr. Rusty Jardine, Deputy District Attorney for Churchill County. He has kindly agreed to cede his argument time to me, so I will make the entire presentation on this subject. I request your indulgence to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Unlike the previous matter this morning, this one is a very narrow, very simple, but apparently not clear, question of statutory interpretation. Again, the standard of review here is de novo because we are dealing with the district court's interpretation of the statute. The statute in question is NRS 533.450 paren 1. And despite the fact that you have over 100 pages of briefs on this case, it really comes down to one simple core question. Can a state engineer ruling only be appealed in the county in which the applicant's point of diversion is located? Or not? Is it possible for an appeal to be filed in a county where a protestant claims its rights are harmed by the proposed appropriation? That's what this case is about. So the district court answered yes to the question I just posed and held that an appeal may not be filed in a county where the protestant's interests are located. And in particular, Judge Huff said, this court finds, quote, the proper court of the county in which the matters affected, close quote, under NRS 533.450 paren 1, is the court in the county where the applicant's water rights, which are granted, administered, or altered by the state engineer's decision, are located, not the court in the county where the interests of the person who feels aggrieved are located. And as a result, the court found it had no jurisdiction and dismissed the appeal of the tribe in Churchill County with prejudice. So we're here before you to parse 533.450, which is the statute which establishes how you go about asking for review of the administrative rulings of the state engineer.
Well, it seems critical to the judge's decision that he sought to harmonize on page 5 of his decision the matters affected language in the statute. Care to comment on that?
Yes, Your Honor. What could it possibly mean to say, or a portion thereof, if Judge Huff is right? His attempt to harmonize essentially eliminates that second phrase of that sentence. If there can be only one court, then all you need is the matters affected. And if the matters affected, by his definition, means only the application of the applicant, then the interests of the protestant have no bearing on where it is possible to file the appeal. But if you take account of the second phrase, or a portion thereof, and you look at the common sense interpretation of the word affected, how could it not be, Your Honor, that the water rights of the protestant, which he claims are harmed, are not matters affected by the ruling? How could that be? And a portion thereof surely could be and must be interpreted to mean there's some way to divide these interests And if you can divide these interests, there are multiple possible courts, hypothetically, where an appeal could be filed. Then it's up to the courts to deal with it on a venue basis. That's not hard. That happens all the time.
Although not stated as such in his order, he raises the policy problem of having litigation that does affect water rights that have been the subject of a decree being adjudicated in another court. Your suggestion is that that really isn't a policy problem because the courts themselves would resolve this by venue selection?
No, Your Honor. Here we're talking about the cases in which we're not dealing with the one court where the decree was entered. I absolutely agree that where there is a decree on a stream system, there is only one court, and that phraseology at the end of the statute, I think, is clear. That's where you do have to file it.
So you would agree with the trial judge that although Alpine, he said, was dicta, nevertheless, in circumstances in which a decree entered out of a court, the only place for jurisdiction is where that decree occurred.
And that is why, Your Honor, we filed our appeal first.
Yes?
Yes, in federal court. And that is why we filed our appeal first in federal court in this case. Judge George's decision was a rejection of our interpretation because he said since the rights you object to are groundwater rights, back to half an hour ago, I do not have jurisdiction to hear your claims of harm to your surface water rights on the Carson River. So we have parallel proceedings going, and that rejection by Judge George is now pending a decision by the Ninth Circuit. This appeal was filed in the event that Judge George were to rule as he did and the Ninth Circuit were to agree with him. I would suggest we still have to be able to go somewhere to appeal a ruling of the state engineer. And if it's not to the decree court, which entered the decree, then we're back into the phraseology earlier in the statute of a court of a county, because, of course, federal court isn't a county, the court of a county where the matters affected or a portion thereof are located.
And then for, as a matter of public policy, you would answer the public policy problem by venue at that point with
yes.
respect to multiple jurisdictions theoretically, or multiple courts theoretically being able to
yes.
entertain the suit.
Absolutely. And
if I could amend the question, multiple state courts.
Yes, Your Honor. Right. And it's particularly ironic in this case because had Judge Huff not dismissed the case but had decided to transfer venue, it would have been to Judge Huff sitting in the Lyon County Court rather than Judge Huff sitting in the Churchill County Court. So the idea that the tribe was trying to get some kind of strategic advantage by filing in Fallon is absurd.
Well, same if it thing. Went, Mr. Springmeier, if it were transferred to Lyon County, it would be a random selection of the three judges that are in the 3rd Judicial District. Wouldn't necessarily be Judge Huff, would it?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think in the transcript of the hearing, Judge Huff agreed that it would be he
okay.
that would get it if it were transferred. And the bottom line, there's some reference in the amicus brief to the convenience of witnesses and having to travel all the way to Fallon and so on, but that's not right. These are appellate proceedings. We file our briefs. Sometimes we get an oral argument. Sometimes we don't. The state court, the trial court, sitting as an appellate court, makes a decision, and then we come up to visit with you. This isn't a thing where there's a trial and witnesses and convenience. Electronic filing would make it even more happy that way. But it really does not matter to the tribe whether we're in Churchill County Court, Lyon County Court. We just want a place to make our argument. And if you send this back, we're going to be then doing the substance of this case, which is another variation on the groundwater surface water connection. So that's what this case is really all about. And it's simply, when you come down to it, the only way to interpret this statute consistently so that the first part and the second part, matters affected or a portion thereof, means anything, is that it's possible in a case like this. Or what about, as a hypothetical, you have a groundwater right, you drill in county, across the county line, maybe in the same groundwater basin, you saw on the maps in the previous case, you got three counties impinging on some groundwater basins. Another right holder with another well right across the county line says, no, that's hurting my water right. Where do you file? Should it always and only have to be the county where the appropriator is trying to get the right? I don't think that's what the statute says, and I can't construct a policy reason why that would be the correct outcome. Rather, it is that the legislature has provided for more than one possibility and then has left it to the courts to decide what's the correct place to do it, what's the most convenient place to do it. Thank you. I'll reserve the rest for rebuttal.
All right.
If it pleases the court, David Robertson from Robertson and Benevento on behalf of the Real Parties in Interest, which are Dayton Valley Investors and Aspen Creek. They own much of the water at issue here.
Good morning. Now, before you begin, there was an indication you were going to be allocating your time as well. Have you worked that out?
We have, Your Honor, and I will be taking the first 7 minutes.
All right.
It's amazing how much time and effort has gone into interpreting two little words that are at stake here, and those are matters affected. And we welcome the fact that this court will clarify this issue because the issue keeps coming up again and again. And in fact, this very issue of what are the matters affected under NRS 533.450 sub 1 has been ruled upon four times in the last several years. And while none of those decisions are controlling authority, they are certainly persuasive authority. And in particular, I would like to point you to Judge George's decision, which is found in your record at page 238. And listen to the issue before the federal court, Judge George being the judge that oversees both the Carson and the Truckee Rivers and has for nearly 20 years. Here's the issue as he framed it in the decision that he wrote. He said, at its essence, the issue before this court is whether appellate jurisdiction over the rulings of the state engineer is determined by reference to the water rights of the applicant or by reference to the water rights that might be affected by the state engineer's ruling, including the applicant and the protestant. The exact same issue before you today. Judge George went through an analysis of 533.450 and came to the conclusion it has to be based upon the location of the applications. And if you'll take a minute to read that, particularly at pages 239 and 240 of the record, you'll see that Judge George points out that numerous absurdities and problems would occur if we accepted the tribe's definition. In this very case, Judge George issued an order on this ruling, 5823, and in that ruling, he specifically stated, after analyzing, again, 533.450 sub 1, specifically stated that the jurisdiction for this appeal belongs in Lyon County. Now, obviously, Judge Huff said that was dicta, but I suggest to the court that Judge George was analyzing the jurisdiction for the appeal of this ruling. And as part of that analysis, he reached the decision that this appeal belongs in Lyon County.
Counsel, are we bound by that, or is it strictly a state issue that the state has to make a determination of what the statute means? It's a state statute.
As I said, I don't believe this is controlling authority, although I do believe that upon becoming a final order,
either of those two orders from Judge George that I just referenced would be collateral estoppel against the position of the tribe right now upon the Ninth Circuit's ruling, which could occur at any time. The third ruling...
Would it be binding authority, though, as to this court making a pronouncement as to what this statute means?
I agree with Your Honor that this court decides the statute. I agree with that. However, I do believe that there is a potential collateral estoppel effect that would preclude the tribe from challenging this. The third decision, and if I didn't make it clear, there are four different decisions rejecting the tribe's interpretation. And those four decisions are by three different courts. And we've just gone through two decisions by Judge George. The third decision is the Judge Huff's decision that you are reviewing now, where he clearly found it's the location of the applicant's water right that controls. And then the fourth decision was just issued last Wednesday. As you know, there's an amicus brief in this case from the town of Minden, and that had to do with State Engineer Ruling 5791. And I would ask this court to take judicial notice of the ruling issued last Wednesday by Judge Gibbons in the Ninth Circuit, in which, and I have copies here for the court and also for counsel, again against the tribe. And Judge Gibbons says, since the applications involved in this appeal are located within Douglas County, Nevada, this is the proper court to hear the appeal pursuant to NRS 533-450 subsection 1. So you have four rulings by three different judges.
Chief, if I could interrupt, I had no idea. Judge Gibbons is my brother, and I had no idea one of his rulings would be at issue here today. So I don't know if it is or not, but I just wanted to disclose that to the parties. And
finally, there are two more points I would like to make. The first is that your decision as to matters affected does not just affect the state court. It also controls where an appeal would go in the federal court. If you read Judge George's opinion, you'll see that's why he was looking at the term matter affected. Because if the matter affected is as alleged by the tribe, that it's anyone on the stream system anywhere, then this case stands as a hallmark of the problem that would occur with the tribe's definition. Because in this case, Churchill County claims that there's harm to the Carson River. The tribe claims that there's harm to the Truckee River. If you're looking at where is the harm, where is the impact, rather than the applicant's rights, where are they located, then you have a situation here where the federal court has to apply both the Alpine Decree and the Ordish Decree, or decide which of those decrees to apply in this situation. Whereas, as Judge George pointed out, if you accept the ruling that the matters affected are where the applicant's water rights exist, you do not have that problem. You'll know which decree, or the federal court will know which decree to apply.
But aren't you revising the plain language of the statute from matters affected to applicant's rights?
I think the matters affected are the items, whatever it is, the matter that's being considered by the state engineer that's being appealed. And that matter is the applicant's water rights. Now, the fact that other people have protested that is different, I believe. I would like to address the language of the statute.
Yeah, please do.
Tribe indicates that the language or a portion thereof somehow creates multiple jurisdiction in multiple counties. The truth is that this groundwater basin, 103, is located entirely in Lyon County. But groundwater basins don't follow county lines. So there are instances where there are groundwater basins that cross county lines. I think 5747, that ruling in the Tracy segment, is a good example of that, where it crosses two county lines. In that situation where the applications are in a single groundwater basin, but that groundwater basin encompasses two counties, we agree there would be jurisdiction in either county.
Counsel, the statute as it's written talks about the party who's aggrieved may file.
Yes.
Not the applicant, but the party who is aggrieved. And as you said, and I presume you have it in front of you, it talks about they may have the same reviewed by a proceeding for that purpose. And in which the matter affected or a portion thereof are situated. Doesn't that spin it slightly different from looking at it from just the applicant standpoint?
There are two different issues here. There's standing and there's jurisdiction. Absolutely agree with you that under the statute, anyone who alleges that they are aggrieved, regardless of where they're located, they can bring a protest. There's no question about that. But once the state engineer rules, then the only court that has jurisdiction to review the state engineer is either the county where the matters are affected, or if it's on a stream system, then it would be the federal court, if it's a decreed stream system. Or it could be a state court decreed stream system.
Any other questions? Okay.
One final point I just wanted to make is that my clients did not move for a change of venue, so to the extent that there's been any suggestion that Judge Huff could have changed venue here, we did not seek that. We solely sought dismissal. Thank you.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Sandra Pickens. I'm with the law offices of John Paul Schlegelmilch, and I represent Stanton Park Development, one of the real parties in interest in this case. And I have been allotted 4 minutes of time. And so I'll try to be brief. One thing that I wanted to address was the rules of statutory construction regarding this statute. I think NRS 533.450 is clear, but let's assume that it's not. Let's run it through the rules of statutory construction and see where we end up. The first step is to look at the legislative intent. In 1913, Nevada law provided that petitions for judicial review could be filed in any court having jurisdiction. That was changed in 1915. Any filings had to be filed in the proper court of the county where the matters affected. Same language we have today. These statutory changes limited the places where judicial review could be filed, and this court has recognized that. In GM Properties versus District Court, 95 Nevada 301, the court ruled that Nevada's water law and all proceedings thereunder are special in character, and the provisions of such law not only lay down the method of procedure, but strictly limit it to that provided.
I have a question on statutory construction, though. 533.450, as amended in 1915, contains the phrase proper court, which is the same phrase in 13.050, the venue statute, which provides for transfer to the proper court. So if you look at that, why wouldn't it be a fair reading of the statute that when the application for judicial review is filed in multiple counties, say, and none is one that has already issued a decree, you wouldn't simply use the venue statute to collect them all in one place as the proper court, but nonetheless it wouldn't have stripped the initial filing of subject matter jurisdiction altogether. Do you follow that question?
I do, and if I understand your question, I believe you're asking me, why is the language not a venue issue as opposed to a jurisdictional
Correct.
Issue?
Good recast.
And the reason for that is because this court has consistently held that judicial review is a creature of statute, and you have to follow the express statutory provisions to vest a court with subject matter jurisdiction.
If so you're saying proper court means something different in the new statute
Yes.
from proper court in a statute enacted 2 years after the venue statute?
Yes, and there's a reason for it. If you look at the rules of statutory construction, you got to give meaning to all parts of the statute. And this statute answers five questions. It tells you who can appeal, what can be appealed. That's very important. How to appeal, where to appeal, which is the jurisdictional provision, and when to appeal. Now, under the tribe's interpretation, we're here today on where to appeal. But you can't answer the question of where to appeal until you determine what is being appealed. This statute says that the decision or order, and it's relating to certain statutes, in this case the decision was made pursuant to 533.370. But this statute also identifies what can be appealed first in the statute before it sets forth where the appeal can be filed. As we all know, water is very migratory and it covers the entire state. And so the legislature was trying to limit what is being appealed. In 2007, the statute was amended again, and it said such orders of such order of the state engineer. And actually, it's now the order of the state engineer. So another legislative change. And the shall file is now must. So there, it is a step toward making it completely jurisdictional. And if you go where the impact is felt, like the tribe in Churchill County is alleging, the problem that occurs there is you're ignoring what can be appealed. You have to give meaning to all sections of that statute. And by just going, well, wait a minute, we're just looking at matters affected, you've completely rendered meaningless what is being appealed. And in this case, what is being appealed is the groundwater rights in Lyon County. Now, and from a public policy standpoint, well, why would it matter? Why couldn't they file in Churchill County or Washoe County or any county where they feel impacted? The public policy argument is that state court sitting in one county shouldn't be adjudicating the groundwater rights in another county. They have no interest in those rights.
Well, why doesn't a change of venue accommodate that public policy?
Because the judicial review statutes don't accommodate a venue. It's jurisdictional only. The venue statutes apply to new actions that are initiated. It does not apply in appellate review cases, which is a judicial review.
And your authority for that is John?
Yes.
So, Ms. Pickens, you're suggesting that the interpretation of the where, depends upon what is being addressed.
Exactly.
And the what that's being addressed is the order that effectuates the applicant's water rights.
Yes. And I did want to reserve some time for Mr. Stockton.
Well, you left him about 54 seconds, but since we had a few questions and this is a fairly complicated issue, I'm going to give you your 4 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the Court, I'm Brian Stockton, Senior Deputy Attorney General, representing the state engineer. And to get to my argument, both this court in the desert irrigation case and the legislature in NRS 533.035 have recognized that beneficial use is the most important concept in Nevada's water law. And so the state engineer's goal in administering these water rights is to try and maximize the use that we can of the limited water that's available while still not damaging the actual resource itself. And Justice Hardesty, you a little while ago you asked the question about where this perennial yield comes from in the statute. And that goes exactly to beneficial use. That's how the state engineer figures out how much water we can use without damaging the resource, and that's the analysis he uses. And so it has its genesis in 533.035. The other statute that specifically gives the state engineer command is 533.370(5), which says the state engineer cannot grant a water right if there's no water in the source. Well, how do you figure out if there's no water in the source? Well, that is perennial yield. And what the state engineer attempts to do, you know, in the uncertain world of underground water rights, is he figures out how much water is coming into the basin and then makes sure that the water going being pumped is not into the aquifer, I should say, how much water is going into the aquifer, because we know only a percentage of the precipitation actually makes it down to the aquifer. The rest either evaporates or runs off as surface water. And so the way he gets to that is this perennial yield analysis. And so the other statute that specifically mentioned is that although it only applies to temporary water rights is 533.371(4). And in there, and what's happened in the past is because it's a temporary right, the idea was if the basin's not being overpumped, then we can allow a temporary water right to maybe go a little bit above the perennial yield, because once that temporary use stops, the basin will recover. And so in 533.371(4), the legislature in 1991 changed the statute to tell the state engineer no temporary rights that exceed the perennial yield. And so the perennial yield language is specifically in that statute. Now, I know this is a limited issue, and I'm kind of going in a circular fashion, but the next thing I'd like to talk about is the priority date. And it's important in analyzing the location where where the action must be filed is to look at, and the language in the statute is must be filed in the proper court of the county. So it has that prepositional phrase modifying it. granting a junior water right does not take anything from a senior right. You only get the amount of water you can put to beneficial use because of the priority date. And denying a junior right doesn't give a senior right any extra water. So the only person that can be aided or harmed by the decision of the district court is the applicant. The district court is not going to take away water rights from the appellant and or give water rights to the appellant. The only person that's going to gain or lose water is the applicant. And that's why the state engineer...
But that presupposes he's correct.
I don't think it does, Your Honor, because if the applicant, if the state engineer's wrong, the applicant loses water. If the state engineer's right, the appellant doesn't lose anything. He's not affected by the decision. His water right remains exactly the same as it was when he walked in the courthouse doors. The court has no jurisdiction over that appellant's water right. The only water right the court has jurisdiction over is the applicant. And that's why we feel matters affected is only the water rights of the applicant. And I'm out of time. Thank you for the additional time, Your Honor.
Any questions? All right, thank you.
Well, I can't believe what I'm hearing. The protestant who says, I'm aggrieved because my rights are affected, is not part of the matters affected. If that's what the statute means, I'll go practice in another area of law. That's just irreconcilable to me with the language of the statute and fundamental fairness and common sense. You start out with the discussion of who can appeal. It says, any person feeling himself aggrieved by any order or decision of the state engineer affecting his interests. Then you go down to say where, and it says, the matters affected or a portion thereof. The repetition of that phrase, if nothing else, reinforces the idea that the interests of the protestant, if he is the appellant, which isn't always the case, are part of what's affected, or at least a portion of what's affected. And you don't know what's affected until you get through up here. So the way that you look at this is to say, this person says, I should get these rights. And this person says, no, you shouldn't. It hurts me. The state engineer makes a ruling. The ruling is what gets appealed, not the rights. If it's the place of what's appealed, we'll do them all in Carson City, because that's where the rulings come out of. That's equally as ridiculous an idea as it should only be in the county, which happens to be the specific place where the point of diversion is.
But counsel's argument for the state engineer is an interesting one. The only adversely affected right at issue in the litigation is the applicant's.
But, Your Honor, as was suggested, that presupposes the state engineer is correct. Suppose the state engineer grants the right, the district court upholds it, we come to the Supreme Court says, state engineer, you're wrong. This would hurt the rights of the protestant.
But the determination, if it's otherwise, is that the applicant's or the protestant's rights were not adversely affected by the state engineer. There's been an adjudication.
Well, that's one possible outcome, but the other one is that they were. And then you obviate this section of the statute by presupposing the result. I don't think that's what the statute suggests. Because if the state engineer is wrong in granting the rights, that affects and harms the water rights of the protestant. And if that's what the Supreme Court decides, we've already been through the county where the matters affected were the locus where the appeal was first taken. So that argument doesn't do much for me, Your Honor. And with regard to the federal court, what Judge George was deciding was whether the decree court of the stream has jurisdiction to hear an appeal relating to the claim of harm resulting from a groundwater application. That's what all of his language is about, and none of that has to do with the jurisdiction of a state court of appeal over an appeal of a ruling on the matters affected. And all of his rulings are on appeal and pending decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, it's interesting that we hear about the decision by Judge Gibbons and ruling 5791, because that one did this, what we're talking about here. That was appealed in Churchill County, and Judge Huff transferred the venue to Judge Gibbons in Douglas County. And then Judge Gibbons then rendered the decision, which I hadn't heard about or seen because we don't have electronic filing until this morning. But what Judge Gibbons is saying is not the same thing. He's saying the venue was proper here in Douglas County. He's not saying it should have been dismissed because it was filed in Churchill County. So that's an example of exactly the point the tribe is trying to make. No matter where you file it, the courts can handle the proper court through the venue statute. And it is not proper to take away the piece of the statute that says a portion thereof by concluding you only have the matter affected being the applicant's right and the county where that well is going to be drilled. The Nevada water law tries to equally balance the interests of the appellant and the interests of the protestant. The interpretation they propose would not do that. Ours would. I respectfully request the court reverse and remand.
All right. Counsel, very interesting arguments. And this matter will stand submitted. The court will stand in recess until the next call of the court. Thank you.
All rise.